You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. We're going to be talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, one last chance for me to ask this. Any moves coming in the next few days before the non-waiver deadline?
I would... Everything can change, certainly, with one phone call, but as of this moment, I don't think so. Talking to Ruben Amaro Jr. recently, he said there is a chance. But you look at the most attractive guys that they could trade. Cole Hamels was claimed earlier this month by the Cubs. Marlon Byrd's been claimed. Claim was made on Grady Sizemore, who, you know, could be valuable as a extra outfielder, perhaps. So the guys that have cleared waivers, guys like Jonathan Papelbon and A.J. Burnett, I don't see them getting traded. Certainly not Burnett. He's really struggled since the All-Star break. But if I've learned anything covering baseball, is that, like I just mentioned, anything can change with one phone call. So if a team gets desperate for a closer and owner puts some pressure on the GM and says, we need some bullpen help, then maybe Papelbon gets moved. But other than that, I really don't see anything coming right now.
You mentioned Papelbon, and I was just looking, and I shouldn't realize what a good year he's having. Is there any pressure just to move him while he's having this bounce-back year, or at least in the winter at some point, to capitalize on that before he kind of – it's not a given that he falls off, but he's having an awfully good year, and I don't think you assume he does that again next year.
Right. I do think that they are going to really double their efforts in the offseason to try to trade him. You know, I think one of the roadblocks they ran into this year is that he was still owed a lot of money, and he's making $13 million next year with an option for the year after that at $13 million. So the money is definitely an issue, but I think what they are hoping is that once the offseason begins, the offseason signing period, and you know, teams can start talking about trades and whatnot or making trades, that the involvement of 29 teams as opposed to just a couple contending teams that need bullpen help is going to increase their chances. But it has been a challenge to trade Papelbon. I think last offseason the challenge was is he kind of struggled down the stretch and blew more than his share of saves. But the fact that he's pitching so well right now, I think they're going to try to present it to teams as this guy is still at the top of his game. And we're willing to eat some money, so you know, how can you not take Jonathan Papelbon at, say, $6.5 million a year instead of 13, which is what the Phillies are paying? You telling me you can't use a closer of that caliber for $6.5 or $8 million a year? I think that's going to be the way that they try to pitch it to teams.
Another guy you mentioned who it doesn't seem like is going anywhere is Grady Sizemore, and you had something this week that said that they're maybe thinking about keeping him around beyond this year. Do they think that this, whatever it is, 100 at-bats or so, is real and that he's becoming more of what he used to be, or is there some concern that this is basically the best 100 at-bats he's had in whatever it is, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, there definitely is some of that, some concern that this is a guy with an extensive injury history and, you know, how much are you really going to be able to get out of him? From what I've been told and kind of what I've gleaned over the past few weeks is – if they do bring back Grady Sizemore, they think it could be in a situation of him platooning in left field with Darren Ruff, and that is if they just don't believe that Dominic Brown can play anymore. But you know, if a team gets aggressive on Grady Sizemore for whatever reason and believes more strongly about his abilities in the Phillies and they offer him a 2-year deal, I would be stunned if the Phillies bring him back. I mean, I don't think they look at him as an everyday type of player. And so that, and therefore, I think if a team would make an everyday type of player contract offer for him in the offseason, I think the Phillies will let him go. But they are intrigued by the possibility of a platoon, and they do look at him as an option. Like I said, if Dominic Brown, if they just decide, you know what, Dominic Brown's not going to get this thing fixed and turned around.
And that actually leads me into the next thing I wanted to ask. As we sit here talking. In the last 7 days, Darren Ruff has 6 plate appearances. He's got 400 big league plate appearances that say he's maybe not a star, but certainly a good enough hitter to play a corner in the big leagues. 350 on base, 480 slugging. That's a pretty good player. why is this guy at this point in this season not at least getting semi-regular playing time?
Yeah, that's the thing that really has Phillies fans riled up, that because there's a lot of mixed messages. You hear Ryan Sandberg talk, you know, we talk to him every day, obviously, and we'll say, you know, do you think you know enough about Darren Ruff? And Ryan Sandberg will say, no, I don't think we know enough about Darren Ruff. We need to learn more about this guy. But then, like you just mentioned, he doesn't play. And from talking to sources, this is kind of the gist with him. While Ryan Sandberg says, we don't know what we have yet, we need to see more of Darren Ruff, the Phillies front office feel that they know what they have in Darren Ruff. They think that he could be a good platoon-type player, but not an everyday player. So they feel that they actually have a pretty firm grasp of his abilities. And the thing that's kind of working against them right now is they are playing Ryan Howard every day at first base. And last month, Ryan Sandberg said, you know, I want to see some other people at first base. You know, I'm not worried about Ryan Howard's contract. When I make out the lineup, I'm trying to win ball games here. Then, like a couple days later, that plan was entirely scratched. And basically, it comes down to this. Even if the Phillies have like a 5% chance of trading Ryan Howard or a 10% chance, whatever number you would put on him in the offseason, assuming the Phillies eat a huge portion of the remaining $60 million on his deal, they basically think, like I said, 5% chance, 10% chance, 20% chance, that number goes down to zero if you stop playing Ryan Howard. So right now they want to play Ryan Howard every day. Maybe he finishes the season, has a good month to finish the season. Maybe he keeps playing like he is, and maybe he still finishes in the top five, top 10 in the National League in RBIs. And then they would take those numbers in the offseason and say, hey, we're going to eat a bunch of his money. Hey, American League team, you telling me you couldn't use Ryan Howard as a DH for $5 million a year? That's kind of the hope, I think, for the Phillies right now. And again, that number goes down to zero if they don't play him. So now Darren Ruff loses some playing time because he doesn't have a chance to play at first base. And then in left field, you've got Dominic Brown, who they're still hoping they could, you know, please, Dominic, give us some signs that you can hit and get this thing turned around. They want to play Grady Sizemore enough to keep him happy. So if they decide to move on from Dominic Brown, they have an option of re-signing Grady Sizemore. And then in the shuffle, then Darren Ruff basically doesn't play much, despite, like you mentioned, a pretty good sample size, you know, spread out over a couple seasons in terms of power on base percentage and whatnot. So Darren Ruff right now is kind of caught between the Ryan Howard situation and, you know, Darren and Dominic Brown struggles and Grady Sizemore's possibility in coming back.
It's fairly amazing that a team that really is not talking about, I mean, they're talking some about retooling, but still really wants to win games this year. It just seems to me this guy's one of the four or five best hitters in the club and
right,
could use the plate appearances. But I understand where you're coming from. It's not an ideal situation, and that sort of complicates matters for the next guy I want to ask about. And again, it's weird for a team struggling to have too many guys, but I do wonder, is there any opportunity down the stretch for Michael Franco, who's really raking once again these last couple of weeks in AAA?
Yeah, that's another thing. Now, if Darren Ruff has got Phillies fans fired up because he's not playing for all these different reasons or the various reasons, and then if Michael Franco doesn't get called up in September, I think Phillies fans are really going to go nuts. But I don't think it's a given. And again, just from conversations I've had with people, those roadblocks that we just mentioned, that they feel that they have to play Ryan Howard to have any shot of trading him in the offseason. So now Michael Franco's a corner infielder. So now you're not really going to play him that much at first base the last month of the season. And at third base, they do still like Cody Ashe. They still think he could be an everyday third baseman. And if not, you know, maybe a possibility in left field, but they still want to play him the rest of the year. So where are his at-bats going to come from? But personally, I think you got to call this guy up. You got to find him some playing time. But the Phillies, so many moving parts right now in a bad team, and I really think it does come down to trading Howard or trying to trade him in the offseason and just trying to free up a roster spot for a more productive bat.
As hot as he's been lately, is there some worry about the adjustment? I mean, Franco's still a young guy. Seems like he's got, you know, not a terrible strike zone. He doesn't strike out a lot, but, he seems like a guy who, with the adjustment he had at AAA, is there any worry that if you do bring him up too soon that, maybe he's not ready, even as hot as he's been?
Yeah, there is some concern of that. There's some concern of if we bring him up and say we can only play him once or twice a week, you know, how much does that help him? There's some concern of, you know, this is a really, you know, bad team right now, and, you know, do you want to bring him up into this atmosphere late in the season when, you know, guys are all frustrated and, you know, kind of, I don't want to say checked out, but, you know, they definitely see the end of a long, grueling season ahead of them. And, you know, do you want to put them in that type of atmosphere? So they want to keep this guy as productive as possible. So these are all things I think they're really going to talk about going, you know, the next week, really, before September call-ups. But I just know this. If he does not get called up, I don't know what kind of, however well Ruben can explain it, he's going to take a lot of heat for it, because the fans want to see some signs of some changes, and right now there just aren't any signs of those changes.
All right. Well, that sounds like fun. Todd Zielecki, thanks for joining us here on MLB.com Extras. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and everybody, thanks for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.